Well, as you know, we're starting a four-week teaching today on relationships. And it's going to be it's going to be really packed with a lot of information, I'll just tell you from now. I've made some notes here, and I'm going to just go through my notes to sort of set the scene so that you will understand what's happening. Now, the series will be packed with a lot of critical components, okay, that cannot be ignored in terms of building relationships. So I want you to be aware of that. Such components like forgiveness, love, patience, and the list goes on. It's going to be packed with stuff that you will need to take a hold of and take a grasp of this month. Scriptures will be read out. Okay, the scripture references will be read out. It's too much for me to really go through in detail. So while I'm going through the series, you're going to notice that if the slides are up and running, you will notice that it will be there's references at the bottom, and I'll do my best to read out those references so that at least it'll be on tape. The third thing is principles must be implemented, okay? And opinions are optional. There are going to be times during the teaching when, you know, I may say this is my opinion. My opinion is just my view. It's my perspective. But where principles are given, they cannot be ignored. I'm going to say some more on principles and opinions next week, so I won't say too much on that today, but please watch out for that. You may or you may not hear from Pastor Joy during the series. She will have a microphone. She's got one now. And for all 4 weeks, I've given her the liberty to come up at any time to share with you. So I may be speaking on a particular topic, a particular subject. And that particular subject or topic may trigger something from her to come up and share from her experience or as the Holy Spirit leads her. So at any time whatsoever, she can come up and share. I want you to have fun during this series, but at the same time, take it serious. Okay, God's word should always be taken serious, and relationships are one of those areas in life that all of us have and all of us go through, and there are positives and negatives pertaining to relationships. But as much as possible, I want us to have fun, and if we can't do that, then at the very minimum, I want us to, I want us to have fun, but at the same time, I also want us to, grasp what it is that the Holy Spirit is saying to us. The truth of God's word is very, very important for you to know. All right. Both myself and Pastor Joy, we're not setting out. I'm saying this now because sometimes some things may be mentioned. And I just want to make it clear that we're not setting out to embarrass or to put down anyone. That's not the objective of any teaching. It's not the objective at all. But sometimes, you know, we may come across or we may say some things that may be close to people's heart. Or just be careful that you don't take offense, okay, to any truth that's presented, you know. When you take offense, you build offense. And if you build offense, then nothing's coming in. And if nothing's coming in, then what's the point? You've built offense to prevent the Holy Spirit from now speaking and coming into your own heart. Oh, gosh. Forgot to switch my microphone on. My apologies. All right. Continue to use the question box at the back of the church. Good to see questions coming in already last week. I just announced it last week and have had several questions, and that's good. And that's good. Please keep them coming in. What will happen is, not this week, but during the series, from next week, I'll begin to answer some of those questions that have been presented. So please be sure to use the box. It's on the table at the back. There's a pen and some paper in there. You don't need to tear the paper. It's already torn at a level. Just write your questions down. Put it in the box, and I will grab it after church and do my best over the weeks to address your questions. Your part in this series, folks, is to be ready and to be willing to make change. Change is a must if you are going to grow, if you're going to develop. A change is a must. There's no way of a Christian can grow without making changes. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to us and tell us to make changes that actually is not easy to make, is very difficult to make. But please be ready to do that. Lastly, handouts are available at the back of the church after the service. You can, if you want to, you can go and grab a handout. The handouts are particular on how to make yourself attractive. Okay, I've made some notes on that part of the teaching for you to take away so that you can remember some of the points that's been mentioned so far. All right, so praise God. So are you ready, church?
Yes.
Amen. So it's building relationships, part one. And Richard's asking me to give him 2 seconds, so I'm going to do that. I think we have to get a projector. I'm going to have to buy a projector this week for next week. Minimize it and then. Oops. Let me put it up here. There we go. Let's give Richard a hand. Thank you, Richard, for getting that for me. All right, so building healthy relationships, part one. I'm going to start off with scriptures that I want to make the base scripture for this series, okay? And it's at the bottom of the screen, but I've also got them typed out. Psalm 32, verses 8 to 11, I have typed out. We're going to go to that in a moment. But also 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love chapter of the Bible, and Proverbs 4, verse 7. Proverbs 4, verse 7 says, wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and know your getting, get understanding. So that's what I hope to bring during this series as well, pertaining to the topic of relationships, understanding. All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And you've seen this before. You've heard me say this before. I've actually told you what this means, and the next screen will tell us, doctrine. What is doctrine? Establish what is right. Reproof means to show what is not right. Correction is to how to get it right. An instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. Now, Psalm 32, verses 8 to 10, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or mule, which have no understanding, but which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. As many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Now, there are some key words there that I've put in yellow, and that is, I will instruct you. Mind you, this is God speaking. And so during this series, God is going to instruct you. God is going to teach you. And God is going to guide you. Okay? And he goes on to say with his eye. The bottom part of those scriptures says, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Very interesting that, because he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Mercy, you know. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. So listen to this. While you are trusting God, you still can get some things wrong. And I believe we've all lived long enough to understand that. Well, this is where the scripture now is beautiful. We don't always get things right as Christians. We know that. So while we're trusting God, we still mess up. But the Bible says, mercy shall surround him. Isn't that good news? Mercy shall surround him. All right, Philippians 2, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Then the next verse, verse 3 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each esteem others better than himself. In other words, then, don't make the focus all about I, me, and what I can get. Don't make it about that. Let each esteem others. Look to your right, look to your left, look around you, your brothers, your families, your neighbors, your work colleagues. Let's look at them and make the focus about them. Having said all of that, this week, today, we are going to look at us. We're going to look at me before we can begin to help others. We need to look at ourselves and we need to make sure that I'm okay. I'm at the right place. I'm in the right frame of mind. I need to make sure that I'm where I should be for God to use me to help others or to build relationships that God wants me to build. That's healthy. Now, Satan is working, church, and you know that. Satan is working to isolate, intimidate, and implicate godly relationships. If you don't know that, then I don't know where you are. He's been working from the Garden of Eden, and he still is working today. As a matter of fact, in the Garden of Eden, we see evidence of that. Satan working to isolate, intimidate, and implicate the first married couple, Adam and Eve. He had a go at them. He separated them, spoke to Eve separately, and, you know, brought division and brought sin in, actually, into this world. He's still doing the same today. He wants to isolate and he wants to intimidate, to make you feel like you can't overcome, like you're not a winner, to make you feel like what you're not. And then he wants to implicate you, to make you feel guilty about whatever it is that he's trying to do or whatever it is that you have done that may be not right. God wants, the Holy Spirit brings conviction, but the enemy brings condemnation. So understand that the devil is still working. His tricks ain't new. He's still working today like he did way back there in the Garden of Eden. He just didn't work to come marriages, to come between married couples. But he also worked to come in the first family that's mentioned in the Bible. And we see that clearly through Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. Cain brought a sacrifice that wasn't acceptable to God. Abel's was. And we all know what happened. Cain murdered his brother Abel. So the enemy is still working to implicate families. He wants to bring division in families. And the only people who can stop that, church, is you and I. We have the power to prevent that from happening by knowing and understanding what God is saying and putting into place the principles or the Word of God, the principles from the Word of God, to not make that happen. Are you with me? Yes. Now, maturity does not begin with age, but it begins with the acceptance of responsibility. So if we're going to grow, if we're going to become mature as believers, as Christians, and certainly in this relationship, in this series, if we're going to grow in our relationships with others, then we've got to be able to accept responsibility. There's no getting around that. So the days of pointing the finger and blame and blame and blame, you need to stop, pause, have a look and say, well, hang on a minute, am I the cause of this? Could I be the cause of what's happening? What part did I have to play? Because there's two sides to every story and it takes two to tango. So we must pause, stop, look and examine ourselves. And as I said earlier, we're going to be focusing this week on us, on ourselves. We're not going to look anywhere else. We're going to look on ourselves this week and ask some serious questions about that. Now, Why focus on relationships? I could bore you with another statistics. I looked them up, but I didn't put them on the screen because I just didn't really want to, okay? I want my time to be focused on the work and on what, on other things. As I said, there's so much information that during these 4 weeks, by the way, I won't be able to cover everything that covers every aspect of relationships. But I'm hoping that you will be able to glean enough from what I'm bringing over the weeks to get it with understanding, to implicate it, to impart it, if you like, into your life so that you can become who God wants you to be and make changes where it's necessary. But we focus on relationships because God focuses on relationships. And He has a relationship with you and I. We focus on relationships because Satan, we must understand, God wants us to have good, godly relationships, but Satan doesn't want us to have that. So he will do his utmost best to do what he can to not make what God wants to happen happen. And again, the deciding factor between the two is us. God wants us to have good relationships, the devil doesn't. And it's us who actually decides. The choices that we make determine whether or not we have success in our relationships, in our life. The Bible says a lot about relationships. That's why we need to focus on it. We must know how they work. We must eradicate ignorance and gain knowledge. And successful living depends upon relationships. Okay? If we're going to live successfully the way God wants us to, then we have to understand about relationships and also what God wants us to how God wants us to live and act out in each relationship. Now, what I'm going to go into now is one of the first topics that I'm going to cover, and first and last today. I'm just setting the scene today, and next week is going to be even more packed with things. And the topic is how to make yourself attractive. So, many times, when people make, and I've talked to people, I've been in church a long time, you know, and I've been married a long time as well, so I've seen a lot and I've heard a lot from people and a lot of people, especially singles, they make the big mistake of focusing on others. Well, the man I want, the woman I have to have this, have to have that, must be this, must be that. And people focus on what others should have for them, but they seldom look at themselves and, well, am I attractive? Am I what anybody else wants? How am I? So I'm going to go through now and I'm going to give you 10 different pointers in regards to this subject or topic. How to make yourself attractive. Number one, you make yourself attractive, folks, by minding your manners. Simple thing, minding your manners. You know, your manners is the first sign of trouble, or it can be the first sign of joy and peace. And sometimes with meeting people, you can tell sometimes whether or not they have manners. You know, you come into a room, you don't say good morning, you don't say goodbye, you don't say anything. That's saying something about you and your personality, your character perhaps. You know, and whether or not the degree of manners that you have. The simple words like saying please, thanks, excuse me, hello, goodbye. You know, these things reveal a lot. They're simple, but they reveal a lot. Do I show respect? And respect is another subject all by itself, and I'm not going to talk about that here right now. But it's so important that in relationships, no matter what type of relationships, that respect is shown and respect is given. Some people sometimes say, yo, you have to earn my respect. Not in every single case. That's not true. That's not really true. You're going to a job or you're going to your work tomorrow morning and you see your boss. Your boss has a particular office. And, you know, that office, you know, is supervising you no matter what level or what title he has. And so automatically that office holds a position where respect is actually due. You might not like your boss, but that doesn't mean you should be rude to him. Are you with me, church? So you've got to have money, you've got to show respect. You have to. With the queen, if the queen should walk in here, all of us would show respect. Why? Because she's a queen. She holds a particular office that demands respect. But this thing where some people sometimes say, well, you have to earn my respect. And that shows a lot of ignorance in cases at times. Because that's not always the case. Okay? Now, scriptures. Hebrews 12, verse 9. Psalm 149, verse 9. And 1 Peter 2, verse 12. If you look these scriptures up, they'll have something to say about manners and about minding your own manners. Number two, we need to cultivate a positive attitude. Cultivate a positive attitude. So how am I? Am I a positive person? You know, sometimes you can be afraid to talk to people or go in a particular circle, because when you go in that circle, you know, all you're going to get from certain individuals is negative. Oh, good morning, how are you? And they're going to find something negative to say, no matter the positive that's happening. Cultivate a positive attitude. Wear a smile. Okay? Watch your body language. Because people can read your body language and therefore read you. There's a couple of scriptures. I don't have them on the screen. I don't have them on the screen, actually. There are a couple of scriptures that talk about, Paul mentioned it twice, that we are living epistles known and read of all men. And so we've got to be careful to make sure that our body language is the right type of body language. You know, the way that you lean into somebody when they're talking to you, you're showing interest. The way you even roll your eyes when somebody's talking to you, you're not showing interest at all. As a matter of fact, it's more than that. You're showing a degree of disgust, if you like, with what the person is saying. You're just not interested at all. Your body language says a lot, okay? People are looking for those who can help them on life's journeys. And so we must pay attention to our mannerisms, because that's so, so important. Number three, we must cultivate a good sense of humor. Remember, now we're talking about ourselves this week, and we're looking at ourselves. You know, life, and we see it. We see what's happened in the past couple of years with COVID-19. Life as it is filled with seriousness, filled with all sorts of negative things happening. Even now, when we look around the world and we see what's happening, you know, it's sad in a lot of cases. And you know, we just got to be of the disposition where, you know, we still have our sense of humor. We don't lose it. And I don't like being around people that are always a serious, serious, serious. And, you know, no smile on your face, no warmth, no nothing. You know, it's not a pleasant environment to be in. So we've got to, again, learn to cultivate, you know, in the midst of negative life, so to speak, negative people or environments, we've got to learn to cultivate a good sense of humor, okay? Learn to laugh at yourself. you know, I don't know. I do that all the time. I'm almost every day. I'm doing something, and I'm laughing at myself as well. You know, I don't take myself too seriously. Of course, we have mess ups. I've said that earlier, and if I was to just take everything that doesn't go wrong and take it in and I become something else, all rigid and all negative, because, you know, there has to be an outlet. And most times, a lot of times, humor creates a lovely outlet, okay, for you to relax and chill. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I hope so. You know, have a sense of humor, but don't push it too far. Because, you know, you can overstep the mark. Don't push it too far. Okay, there's always a limit to things. Too much of one thing is good for nothing. Psalm 2, verse 4, scripture references. Psalm 126, verse 2, James 4, verse 9, and Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 4 are scriptures that you can look up. All right, so number 4, learn good communication skills. And through the years in our church, You know, I've taught on relationships so many different times, not just here, but in a pastor setting, and also at Bible College, and also in another place, you know, on a Saturday morning school. I also taught on this. And every time I teach on it, I look at the statistics, and they've not changed. Communication is still the number one cause of a relationship breakdown. Communication, the lack of it, or miscommunication, is still the number one cause of communication breakdown. So we need to learn good communication skills. And we must remember that communication is not successful until it is understood. So you talking doesn't mean you've communicated. Has your listener understood what you were saying? Is comprehension taking place? And if it's not, then it's not successful. But if it is, then we have a degree of success. Praise God. Communication, as you know, can be verbal or non-verbal. And I just spoke a little while ago about body language. You know, eye contact, gestures. And here they are again with communication. Our facial expressions, even the way we wear our hair, we are communicating something. The clothes that we wear, we're communicating something. Our words and their tone also communicates something. You are giving off a signal to people without even maybe realizing that you are. You're communicating something to someone, you know, through these means and more. So we've got to be careful in what we're saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. What we say and what we don't say. Because as I said, communication can be verbal. And it can also be non-verbal. Still on number 4, one of the world's largest employment agencies said within a few seconds of interviewing a potential employee, they can know whether or not they will do so. Just within a few seconds of an interview, they can tell whether or not they're going to employ that person. I've been in a position a number of times where, you know, I'm the interviewer employing. When I was working for BT, I was contracts manager, and we would sometimes, me and my manager, and maybe one or two others, but mostly me and my manager, we would sit down and we would actually interview head of companies. Owners of companies that would want to work for BT to carry out underground ductworks work. We would interview them to you know, find out whether or not they're suitable for working for us, for BT at the time. And I could tell a lot of the time that there were people who were unsuitable that came in, we just knew from not too long afterwards that company would not be suitable for working for BT. There was a time when I was in an interview situation here, when I was on the PMC, on the board. We had a session where we interviewed people that we were looking for someone to work in the office at the time. And we set it up in the lounge, and we got the paperwork ready, we got everything ready, and the candidates came in one by one. And, you know, this lady came in, and she came in with her shopping, two bags of shopping, and she just, as she walked in, we looked at one another because the way she presented herself and the way that she was, she didn't come in and say, good morning, excuse me, or whatever else. She came into the room and her focus was on the bags. And where am I going to put my bags now? And where am I going to do? And what am I going to do with this? And what am I going to do with that? And immediately, without even saying anything, immediately we know that that person was not going to get the job. Not going to get it. Not too far in the interview, what we were feeling was proved right. And that person did not get the job. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that you are communicating to others without even sometimes saying a word. Your deportment is very, very important. Something that sometimes people don't pay attention to. the way you present yourself is very, very important. And I'm going to say something else in a moment about that. So let's just move on. But it's very important for us to pay attention to that, folks. Okay? The way you present yourself. Okay? You can't be going for an interview. I remember when I went for my interview to work for BT. I was a clerical assistant. I've shared this with the church before. I was going for a CA job. You know, a very low ranking job at the time. But I went there, and I went there in my three-piece suit. I went there with my brown attaché case, you know, matching my suit and schedule. I didn't care what people thought. Some people were laughing at me. And you know what? When I started the job, I continued doing that. I didn't care. Because you know what? I was thinking, but this is leading to a different point now. I came there dressed up like some kind of top executive. Right? But I wasn't no top executive. But you know what was in my mind? I'm going places. I'm here now, maybe CA now, today, but I'm not staying there. I'm going places. So, and this is the point. I dress to where you are going, not to where you are. Don't fashion yourself or dress yourself to where you are now. Where are you going? Where do you want to go in that company that you're working for? Do you want your boss's job or your boss's job? Then begin to think like your boss's boss. Don't wait until you get there before you begin to think there. And as a matter of fact, I'm telling you something that I did in my career. All right? I didn't wait until I get there before I thought it. I thought it before I was there. And I functioned well. I carried myself well. I had manners. I behaved myself well. I performed. And I did my job and my duty. My bosses love me. Not even like me. They love me. And they helped me find a way for me to get promotion. Accelerated promotion. And they did. Why? Because of the way I carried myself, because of the what I was communicating to them, not just with words, but with my actions as well. Amen? Yeah. All right, number five. Beware of bad language. When I say bad language, I'm not just talking about swearing. Be careful of the language that you use. And this could be, I'm giving you principles here, so it could be in a work setting, it could be in your marriage, it could be in your family, it could be with your work colleagues, it could be with your neighbors, it could be with your friends, it could be with other extended relatives. Be careful of what you are saying, okay, your language. Watch out for grumbling and moaning under your breath. Because if you're doing that, especially if you're doing it at work, people will hear. And it will cause, somewhere along the line, somewhere down the road, it will cause a reaction. Years ago, a woman came into our church and she was doing that. Just mumbling and grumbling, mumbling and grumbling, mumbling and grumbling. I didn't know until way after it came to my light, to my attention. But at the time it came to my attention, it was very little that I could do about it, but it was affecting others in the church. They were hearing it and they were fed up of it, and eventually someone came to me, told me about it, and boom, went through the door and said, "I'm sorry, I'm not coming back." It had got to them so much that they decided that they're not coming back to our church. And that was a sad thing. You know what was even worse? The person didn't tell me who it was. I eventually found out who it was. But by that time, you know, it was too late to do anything about it, because as a leader, what you want to do is you want to get on top of things. Anything that's negative that's happening, you want to stop it as soon as possible. This woman decided to leave church without telling me or without giving the details about, you know, the grumbling and the moaning and the complaining that was going on every single time. And it seemed like it was when I was preaching. It was happening. But that's the past. Beware of that. Bitter and sweet cannot flow from the same fountain. So if you find yourself coming up with these things, be careful. Look at the inside and say, hang on a minute, what is going on? Am I grumbling? Am I complaining more than I am giving thanks? You know, what's going on inside of me? Have a constructive spirit and not a critical one. Colossians 3:19 are the scriptures to read, James 3:14, Hebrews 12 and verse 15. Hebrews 12:15 speaks about the root of bitterness springing up. If you allow it to stay, it springs up and causes trouble. That's what the Word of God tells us. So we've got to get to those roots of bitterness and get them out in Jesus' name. Number six, How do I make myself attractive? Number six, you make yourself attractive by being tactful. Okay? Be a tactful person. You don't have to respond to every negative situation that you see. You don't have to address everything that doesn't go your way. There are times when you need to do that, and you know, you've got to know when to. It's wisdom, really. You have to know when to confront and when not to. You have to know when to tackle things and when not to. Because sometimes you tackling the thing at that time could make matters worse. Sometimes just leaving it, it will just fizzle out. And that's the right way to do it. But there are times when you need to confront, because if you don't, that thing will stay and get worse and cause trouble. All right? So tactlessness makes you unattractive. All right? Tact is needed in correcting others. And when it is implemented with wisdom, it will result in positive outcomes. If I know you, you realize that I like these, what do you call it? T-A-C-T. Think, be aware, be courteous, and be tactical in your operations. Okay, and that's the acronym for TACT. All right, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Our scripture references, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, brethren, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, okay, your bodies holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed, or be not fashioned to the mold of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you know by now, transformation is an inward change that results in an outward change. And that's why we're looking, that's what we're looking at this week. An inward change. What do I need to change inwardly so that my behavior will change, so that my relationships with others will change? Psalm 32, verse 8, and Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 as well. Number 7, be trustworthy. How do I make myself attractive? Well, you've got to be trustworthy. Trustworthy people are attractive people because, you know, you can trust them. Hey, goes without saying. You know, my statements then must be validated by my actions. They must be validated by my actions. Tell of the negative as well as the positive, especially so if you're a boss in any organization, in any setting. Don't just look for the negatives. I mean, when people lead the prayer meeting here, or do lead the Thursday meeting, or do a study, or do something for the first time, give a word for the first time, we point out the negatives, but we also point out the positives as well. Okay, not just the negatives, but the positives, because you want people to be encouraged. You want them to learn, to change, to grow, but also encourage as well, because there must have been something they got right. All right, so tell of the negatives as well as the positive. And I'll put some examples up there. For example, especially so if you're looking to get married, you're in a relationship with someone and the relationship is getting serious and you're looking to get married, man, don't make the mistake, man, of you're having debts and you're getting married, you're engaged to somebody and the person doesn't know. You can't do that. You should not do that. They should know everything beforehand. There was a time when this happened to a married couple, and the person, one of the married couple, the person with the debt came running to me and said, "Pastor, Pastor, help, help. What's the matter?" And they relayed out the situation. And the situation was exactly this. They got married and the person was in debt and didn't tell the other person they got married to that they were in debt. And the person was ready to actually leave that individual. And that's how serious it became. It became very, very, very messy. Thankfully, it cleared up, it cleared itself, but you can find yourself in hot water. And, you know, we're talking about being attractive here, and dishonesty is not an attractive concept. It's not an attractive thing. So, we've got to be, sometimes some things are personal, and it's hard, and it's difficult, but man, you've got to do that. It's the same with children. You can't be getting married to somebody or in a serious relationship, even engaged to somebody, and that person doesn't know that you've got kids. They're not with you yet, but they're with them. But you've got kids. You've got responsibilities there. No, you've got to be open and you've got to be I'm honest. And if the person doesn't want to further the relationship, well, it's, look at it this way, it's their loss. At least you've been honest. Are you with me? At least you've been honest. And honest is what you have got to be. Same with divorce. You know, if you've been married and you've been divorced in the past, you know, let you know, the person know before you do get married. All right? Are you the people? Are you the person that people think you are? Are you who people think you are? You know, because one thing to see something, but it's quite another. There's a saying that it's one thing to see me and it's another thing to live with me. You know? Are you the person that people think you are? And only you can answer that question. Proverbs 28, 26 and Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Now, number 8, don't be stingy. How can I make myself attractive? By not being stingy. Right? Giving for stinginess is the only cure. If you feel that you're a stingy person, you know what I mean when I say stingy, innit? You're sort of mean and sort of hold on to things, you don't give so much, you're tight, yeah, you know, all that kind of thing. And the only cure for that is giving. So turn it around and say, no, I'm not going to be a stingy person. I'm not going to be a tight person. I'm not going to be somebody that, I'm going to be a giving person. I'm going to just change that prayerfully, but change it. All right? Giving springs from a kind heart. Don't regret. And there's a reason I put that here. Don't regret buying her flowers or buying meals or buying gifts. Don't regret doing that, because sometimes people go into a relationship and then they go overboard with these things. The relationship doesn't work out and then they say, you know what, I regret taking them out for dinner and buying them that expensive meal at that posh restaurant I bought it to. No. Even if the relationship does not work out, you should have no regrets. Why? Because you are being the best you. Now, if you are being something else or somebody else, that's different. If you're putting it on for a show, that's different. But you should have no regrets. Don't regret giving the best of you in these ways. And by the way, be measured. And I've said this to, just last week, I'm speaking to somebody outside of this church, and I'm saying the very same thing, because I talk to people about relationships in and out of the church all the time. You know, I'm saying to somebody, be careful. Don't flood the person with a load of gifts. You're just getting to know them. Get to know the person properly. Hang on. Are they, especially if you're a woman, because, you know, be careful of that, that you're not sort of flooding. You have to ask yourself a question, well, why do I want to do what I want to do, what I'm thinking of doing? I'm just talking here about not being stingy. So I'm not saying be stingy, but I'm saying be careful, be measured in what you are doing. Because if the person is expecting that from you and then you're feeding that, where's that coming from? No woman should be feeding a man like that anyway. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about just giving and flowering, showering the person with gifts. You might like the person, but that doesn't mean you should shower them with gifts. You buy them a gift last week, you buy them a gift this week. Why are you getting me this? Oh, because I just feel like getting it. I like you. No, because be careful that... Be careful. That's exactly what I'm going to say. Cool, came right into my brain and read it. Be careful that you're not purchasing or trying to purchase, you know, their love or their likeness of you. Be very careful, church. Again, I've seen where this has happened and the person has regretted it because they have gone overboard. And so balance is the key to successful living. Don't be stingy. Help your neighbors with what? With whatever. You fill in the blank. That's one way. You know, it's your neighbor's gardening doing something I've done. Your neighbor's gardening doing it. You know, give them a hand, do it. It could be shopping. It could be something else, especially so. If it's an elderly person that is living near you, just deliberate acts of kindness in giving to eradicate any sign of stinginess, you know, that might be in you. Take the focus off yourself and focus on others, you know. Giving that person a lift home. I don't say I'm not going in that direction. That's no reason for you to not give a person that lift home in that direction. When we first came back into this country, we were attending many Pentecostal churches, you know, and we were living in Sydenham at the time, Lorry Park Road, to be exact. And there was a couple there that in the church that decided that, you know, they were going to pick us up every Sunday. We didn't ask. They're going to pick us up every Sunday, they're going to bring us to church, and they're going to bring us home. And I don't know how long that continued. I don't remember how long. But it continued for quite some time. I remember the people's name. I'm going to call it now. But they were very kind, very generous. They were very open and loving. And, you know, it was a beautiful thing that happened to us at the time. And they picked us up in Sydenham and brought us all the way to Lee and brought us home afterwards. As I said, it continued for some time. And that was very helpful for us. We accepted it. We humbled ourselves and accepted that, recognizing that, you know, yeah, they're blessing us, but guess what? There's a blessing in there for them too. You understand that? There's a blessing in there for them too. So we made sure that we just humbled ourselves, and you know, gratefully, we were happy about that. We said thank you, you know. And I could go on telling you stories about acts of kindness. So as a matter of fact, when we moved into our first flat over here, we had no money. Joy was pregnant with Richard. We had no savings. I think I'm right in saying I was the only one working at the time, carrying home £69 a week. We had no furniture, but God again raised up someone in the church that one day we just looked and we saw a Luton van. 8.5-ton Luton van came and had furniture in there. We had our first dining room table, 4 chairs. I can't remember what else. We had a load of furniture just delivered, and it was all given to us for free. So these acts of kindness blesses others, but like I said, the person giving as well, there is a blessing in there, because God sees and rewards accordingly. We weren't in a position where we could bless them and say thank you. We couldn't do much, but God was, and God is. What we couldn't do, God did. We thank them and we appreciate it, on both cases, of course. And we could go on with stories, but God sees and knows everything, church. So eradicate stinginess. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
Was that loud? Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
1 Timothy 6:18, the scriptures, Ephesians 4:28, Proverbs 31:26, Romans 10:12. Number 9. If I'm going to make myself attractive, I've got to be friendly. And I know there's very limited scriptures in there, but the Bible has a lot more to say on that. And you can look up scriptures for yourself. If I'm going to show myself friendly, I'm going to ask myself, hang on a minute, you know, am I friendly? I mean, if I want friends, am I friendly? Who am I friendly to? Is it only those who are friendly to me I'm friendly to? No, it shouldn't be. Am I friendly to get something in return? Am I doing this act of kindness to be recognized? Am I doing it hoping that the person will do back something for me? Because these are ulterior motives, you see. And we've got to ask ourselves, why? That's why I put it up there. You know, am I friendly? Who am I friendly to? It's so important. Can I grow more friendly? All right, I'm a friendly person, but is there room for growth? He who desires to have friends must, of course, show himself to be friendly. Do you know that's in the Bible? It's in one of those references there. You've actually got the reference on the screen. It's Proverbs 17:17, Proverbs 18:24. One of those two scriptures qualifies that last statement I just made, straight from the scripture. Number 10, this is the last one. Have a clean body. Now, Pastor David, that goes without saying. No, it doesn't. It doesn't go without saying. I said to you earlier that, you know, look, I've been on this planet a long time, and I've been in church a very long time. I've seen all sorts of things. And I've had people come to me, not in Living Waters, okay? Made that clear. I've had people come to me and say, how do I approach this individual? Because this individual actually has a BO problem. And it's not a one-off thing, it's a continual thing. And sometimes these can be delicate matters because you don't want to hurt people, you know, but sometimes it's just not an easy way of telling someone that actually, you know, you need to wash. You need to freshen up. You need a clean body, especially if your work is laborious. You know, you're out there working labor, and manual labor is what I'm talking about. You need to make sure that your body is fresh. You can't be looking for a girlfriend or expecting somebody to be somebody to be attracted to you if you don't carry yourself right. And I put there on the screen, remember, you are sending a signal. You're telling that person that, you know, you don't pay particular attention, you know, to your body the way that you ought to. The signal will either, that you're sending, will either attract or repel. Now, I like when people come to me and say, oh, you smell good. But I don't like when people, not that I can't remember anybody ever, I can't remember anybody coming to me and say, I can't remember that happening or having to hold their breath or look away. I hope that's not happened. Don't think it ever has, but cleanliness is next to godliness, and it's not just your body we're talking about, it's also your clothes as well. So just be aware of that. If you, especially so, if you are single and you're looking to find a spouse or to build a relationship with someone, man, please don't ignore number 10, because it's very, very important. Because all the good that you have and all the good qualities and skills and character and personality that you have can be cancelled in just this one point here. And they could be missing something great simply because you weren't paying properly attention. You get what I'm saying, don't you, church? All right, good. As long as you get what I'm saying. Scripture, Psalm 119, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. And James chapter 4 and verse 8. Now, I'm going to close with some scriptures. And then next week, I'm going to pick up and go somewhere else next week. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. It says this: do not hold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. All right, love. Love is caring. And caring is anticipating a need and meeting it. Please remember that. You say, oh, I really care about you. Well, hang on a minute. Are you actually anticipating the need of the person you say you care about? And are you meeting that need? Because that's what true caring is. Anticipating a need and also meeting it. Love is a decision that is to commit to the needs of others without expectation. That's true love in action. It's not, I love you because of this. I love you despite. I love you because I love you. This is what I'm going to do without expecting anything in return. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten son. God didn't have to do that, but he did. Because he wanted a relationship with you and I. And thank God that he did that. Thank God that he made or he committed to my needs without any expectation from me. And that's the God that we serve. Jesus, church, is depending on God to do everything. And so must we. There's no such thing as a self-sufficient Christian, a one-man band church. There's no such thing. I'll repeat that statement. Jesus is depending upon God to do everything. We look through scripture, we see that. And that's why he took time out to pray. All right? And we must do the same thing. We must depend upon God. God is our source. Can you say that with me out loud? God is my source. He is your source. Not your employer. Not your mom, not your dad. Okay? God is your source. Depend upon him. That's what he wants. God wants us to trust him. In every aspect, in every realm of our relationships, he wants us to trust him. So, receive what God is saying to you, okay, during this series. Job 22:22, Proverbs 1:33 are the scriptures. Job 22 and verse 2 says this: receive instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Folks, please make sure you do that. This is what I call church. I call church a petrol station. You're come for your infilling. Infilling of what? God's word. Infilling of what? His presence. Infilling of what? What is God saying to me? He's speaking to us corporately, but what is he saying to me individually? And that's what you've got to do. Whatever he is saying, you've got to receive it. And you've got to lay it up in your heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Proverbs 1:33, and it's the last one I'm fleshing up. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. So church, my word to you today is make sure that you are doing this. You are laying up his words in your heart. Make sure you're listening to him. And not just listen, but you are going to obey. Do what he says. Do what the word says. James 1:22 says, be ye doers of my word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Lay up his words in your heart. Listen to him. Because if you want to dwell safely in this turbulent world in which we live, then the only way of living successfully in this world today is by listening and obeying and dwelling in the presence of God. And you'll be safe, with security rather, and without fear of evil.